back to the Ben and Skin Show on 97.1 The Eagle.
So I just heard, once again, in June, up over 100,000 podcast downloads per month, which is very exciting for the Ben and Skin Show. So thank you to all of you who are listening live. That's our preferred way for you to listen. But if you ever want to listen again, or you want to listen on a weekend or in the morning, whenever, just go to BenAndSkinPodcast.com. All of our segments are available there, and we appreciate the support greatly. All right, joining us now in studio, two very funny dudes, stand-up comedians, professionals in the house, good friends of ours too. I want to welcome the great Michael Pazvar and Alfred Kayenga. How you guys doing? Let's go. Let's go. Okay. You guys are going to want to get right up in those mics, man. Have just get real. It's almost offensive how where those mics are going
to
go.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to get real offensive with this microphone.
Fellas, it is so good to have you here. Want to promote all the upcoming gigs you guys have going on, but just diving right in, I'll start with you, you know, Michael. Like, what has it been like for you being a stand-up comedian during everything we've been going through here in the world?
You know, for a while it was kind of boring. There was nothing to really do because everything shut down. That anything we had going on just shut down, right? And it was just like I had all these shows scheduled for the summer, and you just one by one by one by one they got canceled. Like it was like you would get an email one day, it's like, hey, this is not happening, we're gonna push it back. Then the next day, hey, this one's canceled, then this one's canceled, this one's canceled. So I just did a lot of random things. I mean, I still have another job that I had to do, and I have kids and a wife, so that kept me busy. But made a lot of dumb videos online.
Some that we love. Some really fantastic ones for us.
And just hung
out.
Made a video with my daughter that you guys played. I tried to train for a marathon.
How about that?
Yeah, I did. I ran a lot of miles. A lot of miles. Started this thing called the Juicy Jogger Nation.
Yeah, you were drinking beer after that.
Yeah, we would drink beer after we would run. It was out of control. One of my friends hit me up. He was like, hey, man, you want to train for the Dallas Marathon? I said, sure. I have nothing else to do. And neither one of us are in shape at all. So we just started running constantly. And he was like, hey, I'm gonna journal about it. And I was like, yeah, I'll video blog about it on Instagram. I'll come up with a hashtag. So I came up with hashtag Juicy Jogger. And then it turned into this thing where people were, like, getting motivated by it. And, like, people were, like, so we turned into the Juicy Jogger Nation. Like, 85, 90 people ended up tagging us on runs and workouts. It was wild.
Dang.
We didn't run. We didn't run the marathon. We trained for 28 weeks. I did not miss a run for 28 weeks. I ran 600 miles, and then they canceled it.
Oh, wow. My God.
It was insane. Wow.
That's okay. Life is process-oriented.
Yeah.
Who cares about that? So I may have this story wrong, Alfred, but the last time Michael hosted a deal at Roller Town, he was talking about bringing you in.
Yeah.
And so we were sitting there talking, and he was like, no, this dude is from Africa, and he's internationally known, and I don't know. So you live up in the Prosper Salina area, or where do you live?
I live two exits up, right on Frankfurt.
Oh, okay, okay. You live in Addison there, or Plano, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But how did you end up here, and how do you know this guy, Michael, over here, and how the heck are you going to be playing
Roller Town? Listen, we can't talk about how I ended up here, because immigration's still looking for me right now. Papers ain't quite done yet.
Yes.
No, they are done. They are done. People came in the right way. So I've been in Texas for 22 years now. So I'm a Texan, man.
You are a Texan. Yeah. I can tell you got that thick mesquite accent.
No, this is from Gainesville, Texas.
Oh, okay.
The first town I landed in when I first got to America was I lived in Gainesville for 5 years. Can you believe that?
Now I can. Yeah,
yeah, man. So I've been in Texas for 22 years.
You're
a
Texan.
I came from Zimbabwe, Africa.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm originally from. And I know you're looking at me like he sure is a big dude. I wasn't like this when I came from Africa, okay? So these Burger Kings we got, you know, there's about five of them on my block. They know me by my first name. You understand?
Right. I love it.
So great. Michael Pazvar in studio, Alfred Kayenga.
I like the way you say that.
Am I saying it the right way?
It's Kayenga.
Kayenga.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Oh,
Pazvar told me the wrong way.
It was a joke. Good one, Michael.
No, I thought
see,
I had it right.
I heard Pazvar say it right. I think this is Ben's fault.
Thank you for correcting me. Michael playing the Twilight Lounge With Paul Varghese tonight. That's in Deep Ellum. That show gets started around 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, yeah. Great lineup.
Love Paul Varghese. Who else throwing down?
Ralph Barbosa. He won Funniest Comic in Texas in 2019. He's amazing. You'll know his name soon. Everyone should know Ralph's name.
And he's the last guy named Ralph that's still around, too.
Yeah. He's the youngest guy named Ralph. He's like 23.
Right.
So,
Then both you guys are going to be part of a bill at Rollertown on Saturday night. Y'all hit the stage at 9. And then Michael and Alfred both are then going to the Addison Improv. Y'all are playing that at 11:30, right? Is that 11:30?
11:30.
Wait, y'all are double dipping on Saturday?
Come on now. Yeah. We're doing it big, man. It's a three-city tour, actually. So we're starting in Salina, we're doing Addison, and then we're finishing in Garland.
Okay, nice.
Garland's the Waffle House, though.
Yeah, 2 o'clock in the morning, so, you know.
All right, so you guys both do podcasts. Michael has the Back in the Day Day podcast, which is highly acclaimed. You need to get Skin on that thing, by the way.
He's working on it.
You know, trying to book him?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I want to come on it, but quite frankly, Kevin, hey, man. Hey, look, listen.
He's in the other room.
If you're going to go in the other room and you're going to jump in the conversation, at least introduce yourself without a whoa.
It is a whole different world in here. You just feel like you're throwing grenades in there.
What box is he in right now? Does that sound weird to you guys, too?
Sounds a little different. Yeah.
But I really think that for the benefit of your podcast, I think you should get Christina on it before you get me on it.
Can I say something? Yes. I want Christina on the podcast, but I've never met Christina before until today.
Okay.
And I always feel real uncomfortable, like, hitting up females. Like, hey, you want to be on? I have this podcast. Hey, person I've never met, do you want to come on my podcast?
That just makes...
We'll meet in Deep Ellum.
That just makes you like all our other listeners, actually, if you hit up Christina with a request and she's never met you.
It doesn't help that you record in a dungeon.
Yeah, she's always... people are always asking her for pictures of her feet.
Really?
Well, maybe we can do an entire podcast about your feet.
You get good money on OnlyFans for your feet.
This is true.
Yeah, I heard like some...
Good money.
My wife was telling me, she shared something to me that she saw on Instagram. Some lady got like 7K for a picture of her feet. And I was like, girl, you better put that nail polish on.
Yeah.
Send those things out.
Right?
No shame.
Okay,
work
so
feet, girl!
Double dipping on the same night. Alfred, is that common in your industry? Is it to have multiple shows in one night? What would that be like?
Well, right now we're so excited to be back, okay? Because we had been, you know, locked up in the house for 12 months. We haven't done a lot of shows. So we're taking anything right now. You know, I could even do a funeral tomorrow. Okay? We're just trying to shake the rust off. So, yeah. So we're excited to be doing this. It doesn't normally happen like this, but we'll take as many shows as we can right now.
I'm always interested in any kind of a performer, comedian, musician, whatever, you know, artist, whatever you get into. This whole idea of a sphere of influence, like you're in your formative years, and obviously immigration's a unique thing for anybody to go through, no matter what part of the world they go to. So you get to America, what is it that makes you want to get into the field of stand-up comedy? What was the catalyst for all that?
Well, for me, I was always a family clown, class clown, making everybody laugh. And, you know, back in Zimbabwe, here's the crazy thing. We grew up watching a lot of sitcoms.
Okay.
So I had no idea that all these people who are my favorite TV stars actually started out as stand-up comics, from Jerry Seinfeld to Red Fox. Then when I came over to America and I noticed that these guys did comedy on stage, I said, you know what? If I can just do half of what they do, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
And so that's just how my passion and love for the stuff started, and got on stage at Hyenas, and the bug hit.
How long ago was that?
15 years
ago. All right.
And I've been at it since.
God, that's awesome. We're talking to Michael Pasvar and Alfred Kainga.
My man!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you guys have a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, again, Twilight Lounge tonight for Michael. They didn't have the money to get Alfred on that bill, huh?
I guess not.
It's not. It's big money on that one.
Is he the most famous comedian you kick it with, Michael?
Nah, he's pretty well known himself.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that you're well known, but I thought that you told me that Alfred was an international star, and I think you're just a national star.
Just I'm like a suburban star,
right?
Three cities deep. Well, yeah.
How do you guys deal with hecklers? When's the last time you had a heckler? Has it been a while, or is there a code, or what do you just...
I answer this question, the next you know, my next show, I'm going to have five hecklers on the show. I haven't had that problem in a long time. Probably when I first started.
What do you do? Do you stomp them out? I mean, do you immediately address it? Do you ignore it? How do you decide?
It really depends with the situation. If you're dealing with a drunk guy, I'm not really going to get into it with a drunk person.
Let's try. Kevin, would you mind heckling him while he's talking?
Just go ahead and keep talking.
Yeah,
oh, that's right. Skin, would you mind
imitating Kevin heckling him? Okay.
Oh, that's a funny joke. I've heard that one before.
Yes, you have, sir. Somebody call security.
It's just like that.
Okay. Get out of my show. Okay.
Well, hold on though. Do you end up turning the audience turn them against one another?
Without a doubt. So I'll quickly tell them, like, listen, everybody else paid their hard earned money to hear me joke tonight, and you're messing it. And guess what? Everybody say, you damn right, we paid our good money.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Turn it into Lord of the Flies.
But if that don't work, somebody call security. Security always works.
Really?
Get him out of there.
Is security good at a comedy club?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just figured it was like a comedian waiting to get on. Like, isn't that how all these guys get their start? Is they start working the door?
That's how I got my start.
See?
Yeah. 100%.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Really?
At Hyenas in Dallas. Like 2009, I was the door guy, security guy. It was real awkward throwing people out of shows.
Yeah.
Like, just like real uncomfortable. You just kind of go up there. You just be like, hey, you got to get out. And they're always trying to, they throw a big scene about it, and you don't want to mess up the flow of the show. I didn't like that part at all.
There's a real famous, I don't know if you ever listen to sports radio, but there's a real famous funny guy named Gordon Keith, and he got started working the door at an improv. And then I think this is true, I probably have this mixed up, but international R&B goddess Erykah Badu used to work the door when Steve Harvey did stand up back in the early 90s, somewhere in that
right
time
here
period.
In Dallas, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's cool that she was working the door.
Yeah.
But gosh, how's she going to throw anybody out? She's like 84 pounds.
Yeah. And she was like a theater major.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, she's crazy.
She just throws them out with cool. Right. They're like,
she
damn.
She puts a spell on them.
I've disappointed the coolest person I've ever met. Slope your shoulders. Okay. So, Alfred, you have a podcast as well. Tell us about it.
Yes. Yeah, so the podcast is called The A to Z Show. So we are streaming on iTunes, Spotify, and on the old YouTube channel.
All right.
Find us on there. So the podcast is mainly focusing on bringing other comedians from all over the world, and we have conversations with comedians about stuff that people would really like to know, the behind-the-stage stories, the day you bombed, the day you got canceled on a show, all that crazy stuff that we as comedians go through.
What is your biggest bomb? What is the biggest bomb you've ever had? What happened?
Let
and why?
Me tell you something. I had just been in comedy for like 2 years, and I got booked to do a show in Louisville, Texas, at a place called the Bunny Rabbit. Now, this was a country band club.
Oh, dear. I saw the Blues Brothers. Listen, this isn't going to end well.
You do not want to do comedy at an intermission country show. Because, listen, everybody thought they were funny, okay? Because the band took a 20-minute recess, and they said, Alfred, go on stage and do your thing. I said, okay. I got up there, man, and everybody just talking and talking and talking. And you know it was bad when one of the old guys said, listen, I'm funnier than him. He said, let me get a shot.
Give me another beer.
It was so bad, the manager walked to the side of the stage and said, hey, I'm going to have to shut you off. I said, no, I can finish. That man unplugged my microphone.
Oh, my God. How long ago was that?
About 14, 13 years ago.
Yeah.
That's
an awkward situation to be in. Does it make you lean more towards just giving you the hunger to make it, or does it make you at all want to shut it down? Or
that time, I was in the parking lot thinking I need to go back get my job back at Walmart. This ain't going to work. My mama was right. I am crazy.
So, Michael, when did you kind of master your craft? I know you always... You know what I'm saying? Everybody can always improve and get better, but when did you know, man, I can do this?
I don't know. That's a tough question, because probably after like 2 or 3 years into it, you're feeling like, okay, you're going to make a decision at that point. Is this something that I'm just going to do as a hobby and do every now and then, or can I actually do this? So probably about 3 years in, I was kind of working the clubs consistently as an opener, and at that point, I felt like I had enough to where I can maybe do something more. And honestly, the last 2 or 3 years is where I've got to the point to where I feel the most comfortable to where, like, okay, give me 30 minutes, give me 45 minutes on some nights, and I'm going to, the entire show is going to be great.
What about the whole idea, and I know everybody goes through this, but am I going to go to L.A. or New York? Like, well, everyone's got to sort of, they confront that at some point.
I planned on going out there about after college sometime. I have a degree in theater, so my degree's in acting. So I did that professionally for a long time. I started acting when I was 10.
Okay.
And I did theater all throughout, got scholarships. I went to OU on a theater scholarship, and I did start comedy at OU. And so my goal when I got out of college was to move back to Dallas, live with my parents, save up some money, and after a year, move to L.A. Didn't do that. Just kind of other things in life happened. I met a girl that I really liked, married her, decided to stay in Dallas instead because I knew that if I went to L.A., probably that wouldn't work out.
Sound like one thing happened.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
You know, the other
things. That's what I heard, too.
And I don't know that you meant to say it like this, but you said, you know, I had the goal of going home and moving in with my parents. I was like, that threw me off. That was your goal, was to go and live with your parents?
Well, the goal was to save up enough money.
Right.
And I knew that and Dallas has industry. There's stuff to do in Dallas. And another big thing for me was I wanted to be SAG eligible before I moved out to L.A. If you don't know what SAG eligible is, that's Screen Actors Guild. All of the big things that you see on television are going to be a SAG production.
Right.
And so there's like a catch-22 when it comes to SAG productions. You can't be on a SAG production unless you're SAG.
Right.
But you can't be SAG unless you've done SAG work.
Right.
So Texas is a right-to-work state. So my goal was come to back to Dallas, get an agent, do a SAG job, be SAG eligible, get enough money, move out to L.A. Now I have a SAG card, and I can actually do real stuff. So I did all those things, but actually, besides moving.
I think when you're 60, you get a SAG card immediately, right?
Yeah.
45, 50.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
That's a good joke.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's good. Yeah. Everything sags.
Yeah.
Everything sags at that point. Okay, Michael Pazvar is with us. Alfred Kainga is here with us. They are stand-up comics. Michael's got the Twilight Lounge tonight with the great Paul Varghese from Berkner High School. That's in Deep Ellum. That'll get going around 10 o'clock. And then both these guys are going to be throwing down Saturday night at Rollertown. That starts at 9 p.m. at Rollertown, and then both will be on a big crowded bill full of awesome sauce at the Addison Improv later that night. That's at 11:30 on Saturday. That's this weekend, the 17th. And, you know, when Michael, we first started talking to you about doing comedy at Rollertown, you know, we were like, well, we've never done that before. Like, we were just struggling trying to have two guys with acoustic guitars come up and perform. Like, you don't even have equipment. We're trying to figure it out. And what I've noticed is that all the shows that you do out there, you bring out great comedians, obviously, and it's a cool vibe. It's like, to me, I thought stand-up comedy could only happen at a stand-up comedy venue, but you've somehow, without even the right equipment or even a stage, you've managed to create a really cool atmosphere out there when you do it. And how is that?
Dude, all you need for a good, and Alfred, you can tell me if you disagree or not, I feel like all you need for a good stand-up is to have a crowd that wants to listen, some kind of sound equipment, and good comics. If you have that, you can put on a good show.
That's it. In the backyard, anywhere.
Really?
As long as... And you know what? Especially in this time that we're in right now, people are ready to laugh. There's been so much stress around. So you could do it in a parking lot, man, in the back of the minivan.
Yeah, right?
You crack up, you know, as long as your jokes are funny.
Yeah.
Now, that could be a different story. If the comedians are not hilarious, then that'll be a problem. But
DFW has so much talent. There's so much comic talent in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Like, you should be able to go anywhere in Dallas on any night and see a good show.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, I would put us up against any of the big scenes besides, like, L.A.
Right.
Even L.A. Come on.
We have guys that came from Dallas that are big-time names right now in the comedy world. There's Tone Bell. He's been on a ton of TV shows. He's had Showtime specials. Cristela Alonzo. She's huge. Like, there's all these different people that came from the Dallas scene that did the same thing Alfred and I'm doing. Well, Alfred's much bigger than I am, but they did all the same stuff that I'm doing, played the same rooms that I'm doing. They went out to L.A., and they're big names. They're like, one of them was on Cars 3, like the voice of Cruise.
Really?
Yeah, all these are crazy stuff.
the thing that you have to have is you have to have a receptive audience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to a comedy club, you have an audience that's ready or at least willing to engage with jokes.
Right.
The challenge of going to a brewery or someplace is, will this audience be receptive to hearing comedy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the biggest trick.
And that's why you got to get them the first 30 seconds when you get on stage.
Yeah.
Hook them. You got to make sure.
When you're doing material, do you have like this? Like, I was talking to Varghese after he played Roller Town. We've known Paul for a long time, and I've talked to Paul about comedy and all this stuff. But, you know, he starts calibrating during his set. Like, he reads the room and starts, okay, this won't play, this won't play. But do you have, like, your bag of hook jokes, so to speak?
You got your set. Then sometimes it just happens that there's some things that happen while you're on stage. You have to improvise.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be ready. And that comes with time and a lot of practice, you know.
Right.
And you can always jump back to your set, but always have something that you can talk about to get the crowd engaged. When the crowd notices that, okay, so these guys can be funny on the spot, they love that.
Yes.
They love that.
Yeah, like, Alfred, like, when you're closing shows out, this is something that I started doing recently. Not recently, in the last couple of years. I'll incorporate something that happened that night. Like, just engage, like, watch. I spend so much time when I'm closing out a show just watching everything that's happened.
Yeah.
What this person reacted to this type of joke, what these people did when this thing was going on, how this person was acting. And that's what I'll talk about at the very beginning when I go on stage. So it's like, this is happening right now in this mm-hmm. moment.
That's awesome. It just creates this special feeling like, hey, you're in the place to be. This is happening right now,
right
in front of me. Very, very cool. Okay, these guys are awesome. Michael Pazvar, he'll be at the Twilight Lounge tonight with Paul Varghese. That gets going at Deep Ellum around 10 p.m. Alfred Kainga, he will be at Roller Town with Michael on Saturday night at 9 p.m. in Salina, and then at the Addison Improv later that night at 11:30. Guys, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for being here. And we'll see you guys this weekend.
All right. See you then.
Thank you.
All right. There they go. Hey, it's going to be an awesome weekend, man. All right. Thank you. Coming up next, the Today game, followed by Trending and Ben. I made the most awkward, horrible request I've ever made. And that includes all the ones I've made to my wife. All that's coming up on the Ben and Skin Show, 97.1 The Eagle.